The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter Number 17, Text Number 11, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on January 10th, 2016, in North York, Canada.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Since today's verse is a prose verse, I will simply read it.
So I want to make sure it's 5.17.11?
Yes, 5.17.11. I'll simply read it. Tatrapi baratram eva varsham karma chetram anyan yashta varshani svarginam punya Shesho Pabhoga Stanani Baumani Svarga Padani Vyapapi Shanti. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Among the nine Varshas, the tract of land known as Bharat Varsha is understood to be the field of fruitive activities. Learned scholars and saintly persons deliver the other eight verses, or rather declare the other eight verses to be meant for very highly elevated pious persons. After returning from the heavenly planets, they enjoy the remaining results of their pious activities in these eight earthly varshas. Purport. The heavenly planets of enjoyment are divided into three groups. The celestial heavenly planets, the heavenly places on earth, and the billa heavenly planets, which are found in the lower regions. Among these three classes of heavenly places, Bhauma Svarga Padani, the heavenly places on earth are the eight varshas other than Bharat Varsha. In Bhagavad Gita 9.21, Krishna says, Chine punye marcha lokam vishanti. When the persons living in the heavenly planets exhaust the results of their pious activities, they return to this earth. In this way they are elevated in the heavenly planets, and then they again fall to the earthly planets. This process is known as Brahmanda Brahmana, wandering up and down throughout the universes. Those who are intelligent, in other words, those who have not lost their intelligence, do not involve themselves in this process of wandering up and down. They take to the devotional service of the Lord, so that they can ultimately penetrate the covering of this universe and enter the spiritual kingdom. Then they are situated on one of the planets known as the Vaikuntha Loka, or still higher, Krishna Loka, Goloka Vrindavan. A devotee is never caught in the process of being promoted to the heavenly planets and again coming down. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, A rupe brahmanda brahmite konya bhagyavan jeev guru krishna prasade pai bhakti lata bhij. Among all the living entities wandering throughout the universe, one who is most fortunate comes in contact with a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus gets the opportunity to execute devotional service. Those who are sincerely seeking the favor of Krishna come in contact with a guru, a bona fide representative of Krishna. the Mayavadis indulging in mental speculation, and the Karmis desiring the results of their activities, cannot become gurus. A guru must be a direct representative of Krishna, who distributes the instructions of Krishna without any change. Thus, only the most fortunate persons come in contact with the guru, as confirmed in the Vedic literatures. Tadviganartam sugurumeva bhigatschet. One has to search out a guru to understand the affairs of the spiritual world. Srimad Bhagavatam also confirms this point. Tasmad gurum prapadyeta jigyashu shrita uttamam. One who is very interested in understanding the activities in the spiritual world must search out a guru, a bona fide representative of Krishna. From all angles of vision, therefore, the word guru is especially meant for the bona fide representative of Krishna and no one else. Padma Purana states, a Vaishnava gurur nasyat. One who is not a Vaishnava or who is not a representative of Krishna cannot be a guru. Even the most qualified Brahman cannot become a guru if he is not a representative of Krishna. Brahmins are supposed to acquire six kinds of auspicious qualifications. They become very learned scholars, patana, and very qualified teachers, patana. They become expert in worshipping the Lord or the demigods, yajana, and they teach others how to execute this worship, yajana. They qualify themselves as bona fide persons to receive alms from others, pratigraha, and distribute the wealth in charity, dana. Yet even a brahmana possessing these qualifications cannot become a guru unless he is a representative of Krishna. Gururnasa syat. Vaishnavasva guru pacho guru. But a Vaishnava, a bona fide representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, can become a guru even if he is svapacha, a member of a family of dog eaters. Of the three divisions of heavenly planets, Svargalok, Bhaumasvarga is sometimes accepted as the tract of land in Bharatvarsha known as Kashmir. In this region, there are certainly good facilities for material sense enjoyment, but this is not the business of a pure transcendentalist. Rupa Goswami describes the engagement of a pure transcendentalist as follows: Anya bilashita shunyam, ganakarmadhyanavritam, anukuyena krishnanu, shilanam bhaktir uttama. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. Those who fully engage in devotional service in Krishna, or rather to Krishna, just to please Him, are not interested in the three divisions of heavenly places, namely Divya Svarga, Bhauma Svarga, and Vila Svarga. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunaitam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Virijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Ladita Shri Vishakam Vitam Shcha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Yadesha Tarine. So one could ask why the devotee is not interested in some heavenly place. The Divya Svarga, the Bhauma Svarga, or the Bila Svarga. Is he artificially renouncing happiness? No. The devotee is actually enjoying a greater happiness. Prabhupada said, heaven is nothing for us. We are living in Vaikuntha. We're not attracted to heaven. We want to go to that place where Krishna is being constantly served by his pure devotees. That is the place we want to go. Here Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing, as Lord Chaitanya has stated, how one actually becomes qualified to get out of this wandering in the universe, up and down, by coming in contact with the bona fide spiritual master, the combined mercy of the spiritual master and Krishna, enable one to actually get the seed of bhakti planted within the heart. Paya bhakti lata bij. So when that seed enters the heart, one has to cultivate it. You may have some very good seeds. A farmer may give you some very good seeds, but if you don't plant them and you don't cultivate them properly, they just die. So the bona fide spiritual master, he plants the seed of bhakti within your heart through the medium of transcendental sound vibration. The seed is planted in your heart. Now it's up to you to do as you wish with that seed. You can cultivate it, or you can let it die. It's your choice. So an intelligent person who studies, well, what is the benefit if I actually cultivate this bhakti lata bij? It's described how if one does that, then a creeper comes manifesting from that seed. It actually comes, it breaks through the covering of the material world, the material universe. That creeper is so powerful, it can break through the thick crust on the universe. It's actually quite interesting to study the coverings of the universe. The coverings are much, the space inside is like this, and the coverings are like this. It's a very insignificant little space in the middle compared to the coverings. Each covering is 10 times bigger than the previous covering, so you can imagine how thick it is. And you can't get through it with a spaceship. Not possible. It's too thick. But through this spaceship, devotional service, Hare Krishna Airlines, instead of NASA, we have CASA, Krishna Aeronautics and Spaces and then Association, whatever they call it. You see, we can fly in that airplane of Krishna consciousness and penetrate all these coverings. We take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master, take the process he is giving us. But it's important to find the bona fide spiritual master. There's so many so-called gurus in the world. I was certainly misguided by several who couldn't give me the way out of the material world. As I explained the other day, one guru had me staring at a candle. That was the liberation process. Sit in a room and stare at a candle. Another one had me chant, "Aing, aing, aing, aing." Nothing happened. But when I came in contact with this process, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare, I could experience the difference. So it was proven to me just by my own personal experience. This is not some blind faith in a cult. It's my own practical experience. Krishna consciousness works. It actually liberates you beyond the material plane. It takes you to a higher plane of consciousness. If you do it properly under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, you won't be living in the material world anymore. You'll be living in the spiritual world even while you maintain your duties and your activities in this material world. You will actually be situated in the spiritual realm, unaffected by the material modes of nature. You see? If you take this process seriously. So we're very fortunate we have a bona fide spiritual master who founded our movement, the Hare Krishna movement. Of course, it's Hare Krishna movement is founded by Krishna 5,000 years ago and revived by Lord Chaitanya, but it's been brought all over the world now. It was within India previously. Now it's been expanded all over the world by Srila Prabhupada. here we are in North America, and we have the full facility to become Krishna conscious. We don't have to be in the holy places of India. Even here in North America, we have full facility to become completely, totally perfect in self-realization and spiritual realization, to the extent of being able to directly experience Krishna face-to-face, eye-to-eye. We can come to that position. But we have to understand the process properly, and we have to honestly, humbly accept it. We should not allow some outside influence of different philosophies of that are popular nowadays in the world to be mixed in with this. Keep it pure. Prabhupada told us, one letter, he said, you simply keep it as it is, we can take over the world. So if we start thinking, well, people won't really like this, we have to change this to suit the, you know, the general populace, and change this and change that to make it more acceptable to the people. You know, we really shouldn't wear tilak anymore because people find that it's unusual. And we should really, you know, I mean, you wouldn't wear a dhoti anymore. People think it's like a diaper or something. You know, we have to, you know, dress like everyone else and not wear tilak. And there's not these things. Prabhupada said, "I'm not coming to learn your culture. I'm coming to teach you my culture." So we really have to have faith in Prabhupada and what he's giving us. We have to have a complete faith. If we follow Srila Prabhupada's standards, everything will become perfect. One devotee, he was given, the first one he was given sannyas, he got the sannyas in India, he came back to America and told all the devotees to give up their devotional dress and dress like ordinary karmis. Prabhupada said, even though he's a sannyasi, his service is just to wash the dishes. No lectures. He took away his, wasn't allowed to give any lectures, because he was preaching bogus philosophy. So we have to really read these books very carefully in Tata. We read all the books. Prabhupada said, all my followers have to read all my books or they'll fall down. I see sometimes there's a tendency in our society, they want to change things. They don't carefully read what's in the books. They want to adjust our practice to suit modern tastes, because they haven't carefully read the books to actually follow what's in the books. But if we keep it pure, exactly as Prabhupada has given it to us, then that purity of devotion to the spiritual master will be our means of actually coming directly in contact with Krishna himself. This system is timeless. It's a timeless system. This system is eternal. You don't have to water it down. I remember this is what Vishnu Janaswamy used to say when I first joined. This is not watered down for Westerners. I heard that again and again when I was a new devotee. It's not watered down for Westerners. The purity of it. I mean, why do so many Westerners go to India, you see? Because they know there's some treasure there, spiritual culture, spiritual knowledge. So we should keep it in its original pure form. Keep it pure. In this way, the whole world can be delivered. Prabhupada told us. Your duty is to deliver the whole world. So we should, of course, we may not be successful, but that's all right. We'll make the endeavor, though, to deliver the whole world. That will be a very nice meditation for us. Prabhupada said, a Krishna conscious being is always thinking and planning how to deliver all of suffering humanity back to Godhead. Because he is Krishna conscious, his liberation is guaranteed. Anyone who follows him will also be liberated. So our duty is to endeavor to make the whole world Krishna conscious. We may be successful, we may not be. But by that endeavor, you see, to serve the order of the spiritual master, try to make the whole world Krishna conscious, that surrender to his instruction will make us Krishna conscious, at least. You see? If I'm endeavoring to make the whole world Krishna conscious, at least I'll be Krishna conscious, you see. And maybe I can make a devotee or two along the way. That'll be great, you see. Or maybe 100. Or maybe 1,000. Or how about 1,000,000? Or how about 10,000,000? You see? There's no limit. It's up to Krishna, you see. How much he wants to empower a particular devotee. See how much he empowers Srila Prabhupada, you see. His godbrothers are critical of him, but he outshone all of them. They're very critical. They said, he's a materialist, he wears a watch, one godbrother said. He's a materialist because he wears a watch. You see? What kind of nonsense is it? Can't wear a devotee can't wear a watch because it's materialistic. Something from the karmic culture, a watch. Our philosophy is everything for Krishna's service. I gave the example yesterday, the Bank of America, you know. Somebody walks in, they say, I renounce this bank. He's a crazy idiot. How you can renounce the bank? It's not yours. How you can say, I renounce this bank? This is madness. You see? Or another person comes with a gun, I robbed this bank. You see? He's a criminal. So whether you're a crazy fool who thinks he's renouncing the bank or a criminal coming with a gun to rob the bank, in either case, you're off the track. You see? So the real thing is to engage everything in Krishna's service. Because everything is his property. Bhaktaram jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram. Krishna says, I am the owner of everything. Therefore, I'm the enjoyer of everything. Who's the rightful enjoyer of everything? The owner. You try to drive somebody else's car without their permission, you'll be arrested. A thief. Only the owner can enjoy that car, you see. No one else can enjoy that car. So Krishna, is being the owner of everything, is the rightful enjoyer. And if we want to be properly situated, we have to see that things are being engaged in Krishna's service. That's all. We can engage the whole world in Krishna's service. We don't artificially renounce it. We say, no, give me the whole world, you see. Prabhupada said a Krishna conscious businessman can aspire to become the wealthiest businessman in the world. So there's nothing wrong with having material resources. If you're a pure devotee, you can engage all, it gives you more power for engaging this world in Krishna service. So whatever resources we have, which is not much right now, and use it all for Krishna, and then Krishna will give you more. Whatever you have, little or big, doesn't matter. It's the quality of the consciousness that counts. Whatever you have now, fully engage it in Krishna's service. And what will Krishna say? Oh, he's taking very nice care of it. Let me give him more facility. Like a child, there's three kids in the family. And they all get the equal amount of allowance, you see. Because that's not in India, they don't do that. But in America, the system allowance, you know. I used to get a nickel every week, 5 cents. When I was a kid, 1 nickel. So the thing is, the father sees, well, how's this child managing his allowance? How is this child managing his allowance? How this child is managing his allowance? One is putting it in his piggy bank. The other is buying bubble gum. You see, so the child is managing it more intelligently. He gets his allowance is increased. You see, so in this way, whatever Krishna has given you, little or big, doesn't matter. You see, whatever Krishna has given you, use it in a very nicely in his service, and then Krishna will give you more, more, and more facility. The idea is we want to, whatever Krishna has given us, we want to manage it so well that Krishna says, well, actually, these devotees are competent to engage the whole world in my service, therefore I will give them the whole world. Krishna can do if we are competent. Prabhupada wrote a letter to my godbrother, Tamal Krishna. He said, Krishna gave you the whole world within a minute, but what you will do with him? You see? Are we competent to be? If we were actually given that position, you see, that the ISKCON devotees are recognized by all the leaders of the world as the educational, the leading educational institution on this planet, the topmost think tank of all think tanks, the ultimate think tank, and they all the you know all the presidents, prime ministers, kings, whatever their positions are, they all the businessmen, every single leader in corporate world, educational world, government world, all the leaders came to the topmost men of ISKCON to say how to guide our, how to tell us how to run our country, etc., etc. Could we handle it? We can hardly even handle our own society right now. There's all these disagreements. This thing, that thing. Should we do this? No, we should do that. And there's arguments going back and forth. You see, we're not, we need to connect with Prabhupada. Very, very devotedly, just humbly submit ourselves to Srila Prabhupada and understand what exactly does Prabhupada want us to do. That's what we have to think. What does Prabhupada want us to do? What does Prabhupada instruct us to do, our spiritual master? In that way, we can have, within our own ranks, we can have solidarity. And by that solidarity, you see, then things will change in the world. Just even the mundane example in Poland, they had one during the communist era. They had one labor, somehow they had a labor union, the solidarity movement. And they overthrew, the communist regime was overthrown. Because they had solidarity. It means togetherness, working together very tightly. So we have to, if we actually want to deliver the world amongst the devotees now, we have to become very, very cooperative. Not fighting amongst ourselves. Very, very a tight-knit cooperative unit. Working together and just like a, you know, a symphony orchestra and complete synchronization and harmony. Perfect synchronization. A symphony orchestra is perfectly synchronized. The conductor, the music is written, the conductor is everyone's following the conductor very carefully. He's making the beat. I used to be in a symphony orchestra when I was, and played the violin. And, you know, the conductor is there. Everyone follows the conductor. So Prabhupada is our conductor. You see. And by carefully, very, you know, very devotedly becoming very much attuned to Srila Prabhupada's instructions, and embracing them as our very life and soul. And we all just endeavor like anything. They must, what is exactly does Prabhupada want us to do? Let us do that, let us do that, let us do that. That will bring us together in a very tight-knit, fully cooperative society that can actually lead the world out of chaos. So we have a duty to get it together amongst ourselves for the sake of the suffering people of the world, not to fight amongst ourselves. We have a very important duty that we to become very cooperative amongst ourselves. So I can ask if there's any questions.
I have a few questions over there.
Okay.
So one question is that you said that you did so many different things before you came to the point of chanting Hare Krishna. You stared at a candle for some time. You went eyeing for some time.
Mm-hmm.
And you did many other things. You wrote songs, etc., etc.
Mm-hmm.
Now someone might argue that, well, these were all preparatory stages before you could begin to chant Hare Krishna. So unless you have done that preparatory work, you could not actually successfully chant Hare Krishna.
Mm-hmm. That's not confirmed by our acharyas. You have to chant aying or stare at a candle in order to chant Hare Krishna. It's not necessary. It was my own personal you know, coming out of the darkness, but everybody's in different degrees of darkness. And everybody has to come out of the darkness. It may happen immediately, it may happen in stages. But everybody has to come out of the darkness. Everybody, it's not that everyone, you know, everyone has their own path of coming to Krishna. It's not that you have to come to Krishna the way I came to Krishna. We're all individuals, you see. Some people it was the Vishadam. Some people it was the smell of the incense. The Kumaras came by smelling the incense. That was how they got their awakening. I got it by, you know, in one way, there's different ways of coming. There's many different ways of coming to Krishna consciousness. It's not that you have to come the way I came, or I have to come the way that you came. We all come in our own way, and that's all right. That's variegatedness. We're all individuals. Depends on your situation within the modes of nature. How, you know, what kind of material attachments? We all have material attachments. What kind of material attachments do you have? Is you attached to sex life? You attached to the tongue? Attached to money? Attached to fame? What is your type of what type of material attachment do you have? You see, we all have different types of material attachment. You attach to gyan, to thinking yourself a very learned person. See, there's different all kinds of different attachments. So according to your situation, according to your environment you live in, there's so many different ways to come to Krishna consciousness. Everybody has their own unique story, you see. And that it makes it's interesting to see how this devotee came, how that devotee came. Everyone had their own unique stories, you see. Any points more you wanted to add to them? Other questions you have?
Yes, but if anybody else has that,
hmm?
If anybody else has questions?
Yeah. Srila Gurudev, the Bhakti Shastri course has a few books, which were Prabhupada books like Bhagavad Gita, Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction, Isopanishad. So if one actually spends his entire life reading only these four or five books thoroughly, would that be enough?
No, you have to follow the Master. We don't actually, if we simply read Prabhupada's books only, we can become liberated and go back to God. You have to follow them as well. We don't require all these other books. Although other books can be read, if they help you to read the basic. See, just like in the when I went to a high school, I had six classes a day. You have your curriculum. You have to take this, 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 and this. But there's extracurricular activities as well. I joined the debate squad, for example. It wasn't for a grade, but it was just as a learning, an extra learning experience. I didn't require it to get my high school diploma, but I thought it was pretty cool, you know, join the debate squad and learn how to debate. It did enhance my education, no doubt, but it wasn't required. So the basic core requirement is you have to read Prabhupada's books, understand Prabhupada's books, and follow his books. You don't have to read other books, but if those other books help you, they're extracurricular. It's like my book, Truth Works. You see, if that book helps you to become more connected with Prabhupada's books, then it's favorable. And it should be done. It's like I read different books. Hari Sari's book, I very much appreciate it. It helps me to connect more with Prabhupada, understand Prabhupada even better, understand his teachings even better. So in this way, if something helps you to be more connected with Prabhupada, then it's good. Just like being initiated also by one of Prabhupada's disciples, that will help you to become more connected. Now you're, you know, you have an official link. You're actually a bona fide, certified grandson of Prabhupada now, not just a visitor, you know, checking out the scene. Now you're actually a full-fledged grandson of Prabhupada, spiritual grandson in his disciplic succession, you see. So, in this way. Want to add something to that, Jim?
Prabhupada's books have everything. I don't need you, because many have sidetracked and they have confused themselves and they confuse others also.
Yeah, there's some lots of being written now that's actually going off the track from what Prabhupada has given us. They're trying to argue different agendas, which are different than Prabhupada taught. So you got to be really careful what you read. A lot of stuff being written now that as Prabhupada says in his purport, that after the spiritual master departs, then chaos ensues. But those devotees who are sincere, they work to rectify the situation. Yeah.
If I understand it correctly, you are saying that the Bhakti Shastri course has four books, but then what do we do for the other book? There are no courses. So do we still read that, or the four books are enough to just follow?
Actually, we'll see, there's four different levels of the academic training. There's Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vibhava, Bhakti Vedanta, and Bhakti Sarvabhauma. So as far as I understand, the Bhakti Sarvabhauma, you get all the books by the time you get to that level, what I remember. That was the idea that was set up. You know, certain books of Bhakti Shastri, then even more at Bhakti Sarvabhauma, even more at Bhakti Vedanta, Bhakti Vaibhava, Bhakti Vedanta, Bhakti Sarvabhauma. But include all the books by the time you get to the topmost degree. Is that what you're inquiring about in that way? Okay.
No.
Yeah. So, my instruction to my disciples is you should read all those books that were authored by Prabhupada should all be read cover to cover. Prabhupada said all my disciples have to read all my books or they will fall down. So grand disciples another is also a disciple. You grand disciples, now you have to also do it. It's because you're disciples also. You're a grand disciple is simply a different type of disciple. And so you're also disciples of Prabhupada. Grand disciple means you're also a disciple. So the books that he authored are there. The Easy Journey to Other Planets, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Nectar of Instruction, Nectar of Devotion, and Chaitanya Charitamrita. I think that Sri Upanishad. I think that covers.
Perfection of Yoga.
No, those are compilations. Compilations can also be studied, and they're helpful, but they're not required. They were not authored by Prabhupada. These are compilations taken from his teachings by the disciples, and they're also very good. Science of Self-Realization is a compilation of what Prabhupada has already given. But what Prabhupada specifically authored, those are the prime literatures. And the others are helpful. Perfection of Yoga. That may have been taken from some lectures that he did. I don't know that Prabhupada said this book should be made. I don't remember that. It's possible. He said you should make this particular book. Life Comes from Life is an example. That was a compilation from his morning walk, but he said that book should be produced. So those books carry more weight. The ones the devotees are inspired to do, they're good. They're fantastic. But the ones that Prabhupada specifically said you should, Life Comes from Life is a compilation from his morning walks. Prabhupada said this book should be produced. Those carry more weight. The ones that Prabhupada specifically said should be done.
Yesterday someone asked me if, that in the Nectar of Devotion it is said one of the things that you can do to get sidetracked is read too many books.
Yeah.
So this person asked me. So is this would that come in this category? He was asking in a humble way, and why not? And then I said, well, this will actually help you to connect to Srila Prabhupada's books. So it's, and if you see, half of it is actually based on Srila Prabhupada's books. It's quoting Srila Prabhupada on every third page.
Now, too many books means reading all the means like all the stuff outside of the purview of our literatures. Like going to the library, reading so many mundane books. It doesn't refer to our Krishna conscious literature. It's like Prabhupada had Back to Godhead magazine, which was authored by his disciples. Prabhupada encouraged that. He wanted that distributed. And that's his disciples' writing. So that's also there by Prabhupada. he wanted his disciples to write also, and wanted us to read that writing as well. Otherwise, what is the meaning of Bhaktivedanta magazine? Prabhupada wanted Bhaktivedanta magazine, wanted it distributed. So too many books means outside the purview of our Krishna conscious literatures. I have to read the I Ching, I have to read Be Here Now, you know, all this Mayavadi garbage. I have to read, you know, the Tibetan Book of the Dead, I have to read Autobiography of a Yogi to get a well-rounded view. No. I have to study the Bible. If one is for comparative study, one can investigate other literatures. It's like you're writing an article comparing Christianity with the Bible, the Bhagavad Gita. You could certainly do that. You can do outside reading for the purpose of Krishna consciousness. That's all right.
Jayadvaita Maharaj did that recently. He compared some Jewish literature.
Yeah, that can be done.
A few more questions, Jayadvaita.
Let's see if we have some more answers though from Guru Maharaj.
No, I was just thinking, firstly, this is being recorded for the lecture in Austin. This should not go too far because this is being recorded.
I don't follow.
It will become too long lecture for us.
See, right now it's 35 minutes, so we have to. That Sunday, we have to think about the Sunday program, not make it too long. Kind of like a sutra as our lecture now. Any last questions?
Can you expand a little bit and help us understand what it means to live in the spiritual world while you're in the
Okay, what does it mean to live in the spiritual world while you're in the material world? Spiritual world means Krishna conscious. You have to see everything in relation with Krishna. You have to see that this material world is simply the external manifestation, the external energy of Krishna. That behind this, it's like a screen. And behind the screen there is Krishna and the whole spiritual world is there. You have to learn how to see beyond the screen. And that's called Shastra Chakshu, seeing through the eyes of the scriptures. Seeing that actually this is a manifestation of Krishna to facilitate our desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. But actually, in some ways, like a mirage in the desert. I mean, it has reality. It's real. It's not that what's real is false. It's real, but it's not the permanent reality. The actual reality is something different. Just like in the Old West movies, you know, they have some town. You watch the movie, you're looking at Dodge City, you know. But actually you go to the movie set, it's just a false front. There's actually no building, they just have a false front with some 2x4s propping up all these false fronts. It's actually in the middle of the prairie somewhere. It looks like a whole town, but it's just a false front. From the movie screen it looks like a town, Dodge City, but actually it's a false front. It's just out in the middle of nowhere in the prairie somewhere in California, outside of Hollywood somewhere out in the mountains. It looks like a full town. So this material world is real. That stage set is real, but it's not what it appears to be. It's real, but it appears to be more substantial to us than it actually is. It appears to us like this is the only reality. We're so blinded by it that we think this is the only reality. That God is a myth. The spiritual world is a myth. This is the only reality. You see? That's how much we become blinded by this semblance of existence that we have here in the material world. So it's real, but you have to see that it's an illusory manifestation. It's real, but it's not what it appears to be. It's something different when it actually appears to be. the real reality is beyond this temporary reality, which comes in and out of the breathing of Mahavishnu. Every time he inhales, it's wrapped up, and every time he exhales, it's re-manifested. It goes through manifestation and non-manifestation with the breathing of Mahavishnu. Those living entities who are fortunate, they go back to Godhead. Those who are not, they go into a state of suspended animation when the universe is inhaled into Mahavishnu. Again and again, going in and out of Mahavishnu. There's inhalations and exhalations. Coming out and trying to enjoy once again in so many illusory ways their senses.
But since this material world is being the energy of Lord Krishna, and everything is utilized in service of Krishna,
that's a spiritual world then.
That attains the same nature.
That's right. It's all the energy of Krishna. But when it's engaged with sense gratification, it becomes material. But when you re-engage it back again in Krishna's service, it regains its original spiritual nature. She's given a very simple answer for the whole thing. Thank you, Deviji. So, since our time is running out, we've gone to 40 minutes now. And
well, they can stop listening after some time.
The thing is that they can stop listening, it doesn't make sense, because if we want to stop, we can stop and then we can continue. That's better.
Right.
Instead of they stopping in the middle of the lecture.
Yes.
So we can take a few more questions.
Any more questions? Yeah.
When Krishna sees a devotee engaging everything in his service, he'll give him more.
Right.
And there is one more point, if Krishna wants to give special mercy to a devotee, he takes back everything that a devotee...
Sometimes.
So how do we understand these
things? If one has... If one is completely pure and has given up all desires to try to enjoy this material world, Krishna will give him unlimited material facility. But one who wants to be a devotee but is still holding on to his material attachments, Krishna takes everything away. You see? That's the difference. For someone who's a materialist, who's praying to God, God, give me this. God, give me that. God will give him some things just to keep him, so he keeps going to the church. God will give him some of it. Give him some of it at least, to encourage him to keep some connection with God. It's like I prayed for cowboy boots when I was a little kid. My mother taught me to pray for cowboy boots, and I got my cowboy boots. You see, so I would keep thinking of praying to God. That's one level. Another level, you want to be a devotee and give up all your material attachments, but you're still hanging on to him at the same time. So how can you get free of him if you're holding on to him? Well, they just ripped away.
Is it same with the advanced devotees?
Ah?
We see like advanced devotees still in poverty or still suffering in this material world. How do we understand?
Well, if he's actually an advanced devotee, he's not really in poverty. He may appear to be in poverty, he's not in poverty. He's the wealthiest man in the... An advanced devotee is the wealthiest man in the whole world.
He never laments about it.
Huh?
He never laments about it.
He's the most advanced devotee in the whole world. He's the wealthiest person in the whole universe. An advanced devotee is the most wealthy person in the whole universe. He possesses Krishna. And even bodily sickness is not a deal. It's an ecstatic symptom for someone who's actually advanced in Krishna consciousness. There's no impediment for their transcendental bliss and their transcendental living service to Krishna. They go into a disease state. They're more internalizing their devotional service. That's all. Like Prabhupada that last year, he was so diseased, but was he in any way inhibited in his devotional service now? It was becoming more internalized not so much externally seen in the world, but within his heart, it was going on uninterruptedly, ever more deeply, blissfully, ever more ecstatically absorbing itself in Krishna consciousness. All his body externally was deteriorating, his Krishna consciousness is increasing. So if you're actually advanced, there's no material impediments. There is no material impediment from one who is completely free from material motivations. Anything else? Yeah.
Maharaj, I had a few questions, like a series of questions depending on what the response is. So the question is, what is the guru, what is it that the guru brings to the disciple that he gets delivered?
Sense of guru.
Mm-hmm. What does the guru bring to the disciple so that he becomes delivered?
The spiritual master is compared to, we sing every morning in Gravasakam prayer. The spiritual master is compared to the rain cloud. Krishna is the ocean, and you are in the blazing fire, forest fire right now. And there's a forest fire, you can bring out the fire truck, but it's not enough water, they can't put it out. The bucket brigade, you know, they can't put out the forest fire, it's too big. What will put out the forest fire, there's a huge volume of water in the ocean, but how do you get the water from the ocean to the forest? That's the cloud, you see. The water evaporates in the ocean, it forms clouds, and those clouds come and then torrents of rain on the forest fire, then it's extinguished. So the spiritual master is the cloud. He brings the mercy of Krishna and he delivers it to you. That's how you become delivered. You understand?
And if this mercy is from Krishna, so would it be proper to say that whoever is a disciple is actually fortunate to be there and is destined to be there?
Fortunate, disciples are most fortunate to be in the presence of Guru and Krishna. What was the other thing?
What I'm trying to get to is that, so if a devotee meets a guru,
Devotees meet the guru.
So that's his destiny. Would it be correct to say?
Destiny. There are two destinies which are unfolding. One is your karmic destiny, according to action and reaction of the material nature. That destiny will keep you eternally caught up in the cycle of birth and death forever. So there's another destiny, and that's those who are fortunate to realize that this material world is not my actual place. There's a different place which is my actual home, that is the spiritual world. And those who are blessed with this realization, Prabhupada said, man is the architect of his own destiny. For a materialist, their destiny is dictated by the modes of material nature. They're like puppets only. And the material, their destiny is completely controlled by the material nature. But one who steps out of that chain of material nature and makes the conscious endeavor to awaken his original natural consciousness, that person is able to change his destiny. In other words, you have to make that endeavors, not that, well, I'll be Krishna conscious when it's my destiny to become Krishna conscious. No. If one says like that, he'll never become Krishna conscious, not in millions of lifetimes. When it's my destiny to become a pure devotee, I'll become a pure devotee. In this material world, it will never be your destiny to become a pure devotee. You have to make the conscious choice. I want to get out of here. I'm tired of being a slave of karma, the wheel of birth and death. You have to make that conscious choice. Now I'm getting out of this place. I've had enough. I'm fed up with it. I want out. Then now you're becoming the architect of your own destiny. You see? And Krishna will give you all facility. He'll send you a bona fide spiritual master. He'll give you devotees to associate with, sadhus. He'll give you scriptures like Prabhupada's books to give you everything you need. You see? But you have to make that decision. I want to get out of this material world. I'm fed up with it. Get out of this place.
Wouldn't you put short way. Can we put it in a short way that in material world everybody is bound up with hands and legs together, so they have to become free, they have to go to this person who has become free from that bondage, then only they can become
free. They have to do what?
That bondage, whose hands and legs are tied up.
They need the spiritual master is the person who cuts the knots that are binding you up.
But the spiritual master also has to be freed from that bondage. Then he can be delivered.
Yeah, if he's not freed, he's not a spiritual master. Yes. He's a charlatan. Spiritual master must be a liberated soul. Otherwise, how can he liberate somebody else? If he's not liberated, how can he liberate them? He's not liberated. He's a charlatan. He's not a bona fide guru.
So
he has to be liberated.
My point was that all the living entities in the material world are tied by the three modes of material nature.
Yes.
So they cannot free themselves.
Right.
They have.
It takes a liberated soul to free them.
Yes. So they have to go to the spiritual master. That's the only way.
If your hands are bound, you can't take a knife to cut the string. Somebody whose hands are unbound, he can take a knife and cut the string. Yeah. Okay, any other questions? Yeah.
So, in one of the lectures I heard from another Swami that the spiritual...
Who, Swami?
Sorry?
Who?
Bhaktivikaswami.
Okay.
So the spiritual master carries a sword by which he severs the...
That's right.
The linkage. So going back to the example that you gave, that you met many gurus before you actually met His Divine Grace.
Right.
So would it be like your destiny that you made an effort and it was rewarded with meeting with Srila Gurudev?
He says your destiny made an effort so that you come to that point. Of deliver, that the spiritual master can deliver. The destiny brings you there.
Destiny will never. It's not that you have that. You have to have it. It's not that destiny is going to bring you to Krishna consciousness. It won't. You have to be fortunate to come in contact with a bona fide spiritual master. Then you get the seed of bhakti. The seed of bhakti, we read in that verse in the purport. Bhakti lata bij. The word bhagyavan is given. The Sanskrit word bhagyavan is given. Means one, bhagyavan, kona bhagyavan ji. One living entity who is very fortunate. It's by good fortune. It's not by destiny. This is beyond your destiny. You're caught up in karma chakra, birth after birth. Somehow or other, you were fortunate to be in the right place at the right time by good fortune. Somehow you got the association of a bona fide spiritual master and he severed the bondage. If you realize your good fortune, you were fortunate enough to realize your good fortune, then you take advantage of that mercy. You cultivate those seeds of bhakti within your heart.
Even if they come in contact, great fortune, they come in contact, if they don't take advantage of that fortune.
Then it's the seeds die. That's right.
But it can fructify after a long time sometimes also.
Many people have come in contact with our movement. How many people have joined? Any of those who have come, how many have taken it seriously? Manushanam sahasesu kashchan yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kashchan mangbeti tatvataha. Out of thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection, and about a thousand who endeavor for perfection, hardly even one knows me in truth. It's a very rare thing. Very, very rare thing. But you can do it if you want to. You have to have the desire, that's all. You have to have the desire to get out of this material world and regain your original identity in Krishna's pastime. You have to have the desire to do that. You will. You will. You have that desire, Krishna gives you all facility.
It is also said that when you have gotten this is your opportunity to get out of the cycle of birth and death. One has to take up. Instead of living the animalistic life of eating, sleeping, mating and defending, they have to do higher purpose of the life rather than just remaining on the animal platform.
Anything else? Okay, we'll stop here, and we thank you all very much for coming here today in Toronto, and also those of you who have come today in Austin. This is a double header, Austin and Toronto at the same time today. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Premanandi.
Srila Gurudev, Sankarshan Das Adhikari, Srila Gurudev ki jai.